Tonight I want to continue this theme we've been studying. I want to preach about a believer's walk, past, present, and future. A believer's walk, past, present, and future. Let's have a word of prayer together, and then we'll look at this. Heavenly Father, thank you for this night that we can come together. Thank you for a place to meet. Thank you for the faithful ones that are here back again this evening. And Lord, we just ask you to work in our hearts and challenge us by your word tonight. Help us to be growing in the Lord. Help us to be changing from what we were to what you want us to be. Spirit of God, please, with your power, just convict us and challenge us by your word. And please do your work. We know you want to make us more like Christ. And please accomplish that work in our lives. Help us to be yielded to you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's look here at Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And we'll begin reading there in verse number 1. Again, the message is going to be very simplistic, a lot of scriptures, but just as I studied this theme, some things that help us to really notice what our past was like, what our present should be like, and what our future will be like. And I hope it'll challenge us and help us here this evening. Ephesians chapter number 2, of course, is a great chapter where we take people to even give them the gospel sometimes, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. But let's look here at Ephesians 2 and begin there in verse 1. It says, "And you hath he quickened." That word means made alive. The King James Bible uses the word quickened. It means to make alive. And why? Well, the Bible tells us why. Because we were dead. We were dead in trespasses and sins. "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." And how can you say, well, a person was dead? Now, he's talking to people that are alive, and he's talking to people that say that they were dead. Of course, we've talked about that before and understand that a person is dead spiritually before they get saved. I believe it's true, very true. The Bible made us in the image of God, and we're made in three parts. We're a body and a soul and a spirit. The body is the part of us that we see, our flesh and so on. The soul is the part of us that is made to communicate with fellow man. And our heart and our mind, our emotions, our will, our ability to choose and so on. That's our soul. Okay, we have a body and we have a soul, but we also have a spirit. And I believe that with our sin nature and our sin, we are dead spiritually until the new birth takes place. I believe the Bible teaches that again, a person must, as Jesus said, ye must be born again. Because until a person is born again of the Spirit of God, until the new birth takes place, we are dead spiritually. A person could be walking this evening. I have neighbors I know who I could look at them and, yeah, they're alive, they're a body, they're a soul, but they're dead spiritually. Why? Because they're lost. They're not saved. And they need to be born again. They need to be born of the Spirit of God. That takes place when we believe the gospel and we receive Christ as their personal Savior. But before we get saved, we're dead spiritually. It says, "And you hath he quickened," or made alive, "who were dead in trespasses and sins." Verse 2. "Wherein in time past, ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air." Who's the prince of this world? Satan is the prince of the world that we're living in today. It says, "the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Verse 3. "Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved." Those verses describe for us what a person's like before they get saved. And we might say, "Oh no, not me, I wasn't that bad." Oh yes, you were. Yes, I was. We're just as bad as those verses describe. We were dead in our trespasses and sin. We did walk according to our flesh. We did just seek to fulfill the desires and the lusts of our flesh. And we are, by children, the nature of wrath. We have that sin nature. That was in us, and that was just our whole being. That was our whole way of living before a person got saved. All we know is the sin nature. We don't have a spiritual nature yet because the Spirit of God hasn't come to live inside of you. But when you get saved, all that changes. But again, as we talk about a believer's past, and before we got saved, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We walked according to the course of this world. We walked after the things of this world. We did love the world. We did fulfill the lust of our flesh, the lust of our eyes, and so on. We walked as children of disobedience. We fulfilled the desires of our flesh and of our mind. We were by nature the children of wrath, and so on. That's our past. That's our past before we get saved. What about our future? What about our future? Well, it says about being quickened together with Christ by grace through faith. Notice verse 6. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us to Christ Jesus. Now we understand when a person gets saved, they are purchased and they are redeemed. But really the end and the completion really of salvation. Of course, we're saved the moment we believe and trust Christ, but really the fulfillment of it all is going to be the day when we're with Jesus. The day when we're in heaven. The day when we're with our God and we're with our Savior. And He will make us to sit together in heavenly places with Him. We know that John 14 says He's gone to prepare a place, that where I am, there ye may be also. And there's a heavenly place awaiting for us. Give you an update, and it's not discouraging, but my father-in-law will likely soon be in heaven. Some of you know we went to be there this week, and he's very weak, and he's not eating, and probably soon we'll go to heaven. We don't look forward to that, but we do look forward to heaven, don't we? We look forward to heaven and seeing Him again. We look forward to, we have great assurance because of the promises of the Word of God, because we know that He's saved, because we know He's a child of God. And listen, to a person who's saved, their future's a wonderful future. It's a home in heaven. It's being able to be with God and being able to be with our Savior, being able to be with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven for all eternity. And thank God that when I'm in heaven, I will finally one day, I'll be perfect like Jesus Christ. I'm far from it. But He's working on me. The book of Psalms talks about He's still working on me and He's still working on you. He's working on us to make us more like Christ. And I thank God for the future. We'll sit with God. We'll sit with Christ in heavenly places. We know that heaven's our home. That's a believer's future. A believer's past, we were children of disobedience. We walked after our sin nature. We walked after our flesh. We didn't please God. How we walked and lived in our past before we got saved was certainly not good. It was that of a sinful nature. But we thank God for that glorious salvation, that we're quickened, we're made alive, we're born again of the Spirit of God. We see the past and we see the future in these verses. But you know what? We also see the present. We see the present. Notice verse 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." We see how a person is saved. They're saved by grace. We're not saved by our works. If we were saved by our works, then Jesus Christ never would have had to come and die on the cross. If God could have made it all about, okay, if you keep these certain laws or you keep these Ten Commandments, then you can be my child and you can go to heaven. But God didn't do that. God gave the law, the book of Galatians teaches us, to be a schoolmaster just to show people that they were sinful, to show them they needed the Messiah, to show them they did need the Savior. And the same is, listen, none of us can live a perfect life, a sinless life. We have that sin nature and all of us will sin. My children are born sinning because they're like their mother. No, they're born sinners because they're born of my sinful blood. And we have a sin nature. They got a good dose of it in it from me. We're all sinners. We can't save ourselves. But here in the here and now, when a person receives Christ as their Savior, thank God they're born again. Our sins are forgiven. We become the child of God. And then verse 10 tells us how He expects us to live. It says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should what? That we should walk in them." How did we walk in times past? According to our sin nature. How did we walk in times past? after our flesh. How do we walk in times past? Just after the ways of this world. What our lust, what our flesh desired, what we fulfilled our own lusts and fulfilled our own desires. We just lived for ourselves. We didn't live for God. That's the way of our past. But thank God when He saves us, it changes us and makes us want to live for Him. And He says, I've created you unto good works. And we understand that when we get saved, we're not saved by works, but yet He has good works for us to do. He has a purpose for our life, and He has good works He wants us to do. There are things He wants us to do to be obedient to Christ. And in the here and now, that's where we're supposed to walk. That's how we're supposed to live, is walking after the commands of God, following His Word. There are some good works He's ordained for us. He says that we should walk in them. So a believer's walk in the past is sin nature, living for self. In the future, thank God, it's He's made us that we can sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. But in the here and now, it's let's live for Christ. In the present, let's live for Christ. He saved us not by our works, but in the here and now, let's do good works and let's live for Christ and let's follow His Word. That's how a believer is supposed to walk in the present. It's doing those things that God wants him to do. Turn with me to the book of Colossians, chapter number 3. Colossians, chapter number 3. And verse number 7. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 7. Actually, you know what? Let's just start at verse 1. You get it in context. You'll understand it better. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ is in God. When Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Notice in these verses a couple things. A believer's walk past, in the past. We see that there in verse number 7. He talks about there are some things that need to be mortified. They need to be put to death. Why? Because they were the way we walked in the past. He talks about those things in verse 5 and 6. And then in verse 7 he says, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. You know, those couple of verses are describing that was how we walked in the past. That was how we lived before we got saved. But that's not how we're supposed to live in the present. Yeah, that's our way because we had a sin nature. We weren't the children of God. We were the children of Satan. We weren't the children of light. We were the children of darkness. Children of wrath. That's how we walked before we got saved. It even mentions in these verses what a believer's future will be. Verse 4. It says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. You know what? When you even think about the rapture that's going to take place one day, and understand it doesn't use that word. We use that word to describe the events of how Christ is going to come again in the clouds. And the trumpet will sound. Archangel will shout. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And those that are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet Him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord, the Bible says. Listen, that describes a believer's future. A believer's past, yes, we walked in the ways of this world. We walked as children of darkness. A believer's future, hey, if you're saved, when Christ returns, if we happen to be the ones living in a generation when the rapture takes place and Christ comes back in the air, we'll be taken to be with the Lord just like that. You won't even die the physical death. Now, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But if we're the generation that's living when Christ even comes in the clouds, we go to be with the Lord. We go immediately to be with Him in heaven. Then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. And what a day that will be. Could you imagine to be in glory with God? To be in glory with your Savior, Jesus Christ. We see a believer's past. We see a believer's future. And in this chapter, we see what a believer's present life, how we should be walking. You know, it says this is how you walked in your past, but those verses said, remember verse 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. And that mortify, you think of a mortician, is somebody that would work at the funeral home and they have to take care of dead bodies and so on. That word is implying there about putting to death, mortify. There are some things that, you know, they were just the ways of our flesh, the ways of our sinful nature. And he says those things are to be put to death. Those are that's how you walked in the past. But you're not to walk that way as a Christian anymore. Those things need to be put to death. And be mindful of our future, that we're going to be with the Lord. He said, verse 2, set your affection on things above, not on things in this earth. In our present, we shouldn't just be living thinking about right now, today. If a believer lives just for today and just thinking about me and what's best for me, then we'll miss out on so much in eternity. We're to keep in mind that one day we will be with Him in glory. We will be in heaven with our Lord. And we're to be being mindful of those things and living for things that are eternal. We're to be walking in the present, being mindful of the future. Set your affection on things above. Think about the things of heaven. Think about the things that are eternal. And don't just live for the things of this earth. The things of this earth are so temporary. They're temporary. You know what? You can have the nicest car that the world sells, but you leave that car out in Canadian winter, you know what it's going to do? It's going to rust. A $15,000 car or a $100,000 car or $200,000 car still will rust. It'll rust. We don't get to take it with us to heaven. And nothing's going with us there. Let's live for things that are eternal. Again, down there in verse 8, what did he say? He said, but now ye also put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. We're to put off the old man. We're to put off that old sinful nature. We're not to walk anymore in that flesh nature, in that sinful nature. Why? Because we're supposed to be walking after Christ. We're to be walking in the Spirit of God. We're supposed to be a new nature. We're to be partakers of the divine nature, the book of Peter says. And there ought to be a new life that we're living. Why? Because the Spirit of God is working on us, trying to transform us and make us into the image of Christ. The Bible says that Christ be formed in you. That's what He's trying to do. That's what He's trying to accomplish. Verse number 12 says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind. That's sure a big difference from verse 8, isn't it? Put away anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy and filthy communication. Wrong way of speaking. You know, poor people are saved. They could talk bad and talk dirty and always be angry and sin and so on. But he says now as a believer you're to walk differently. Kindness. Humbleness. Meekness. Long-suffering. Forbearing one another. Verse 13, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And we could go on and on down through this chapter. We see so many different ways and how it affects relationships. Wives submitting to husbands as is fit in the Lord. Husbands loving their wives and being not bitter against them. Children, verse 20, obeying your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Verse 22, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Verse 23, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Listen, we're to walk a different way. In our past, yes, we walked after those things of the flesh. In our flesh, we would live a selfish life and we would be a certain way. But we're not to walk that way because Christ and the Spirit of God is trying to work in us. We're to be made in the image of Christ. We're to put off the old man and we're to put on the new man. In the present, we need to be mindful of the future and set our affection on those things above. Be mindful of heaven and be living for eternity. So even in this chapter, we see how we walked in the past and we see what the future awaits for a believer. And we see how we should be walking in the present. In the present. Turn with me over to 1 Peter chapter 4, if you would. 1 Peter chapter number 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. We saw it there in Ephesians. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. We walked after our flesh. We walked after our sin nature. But then we see that in our future, He's made us. And when we're saved and we're born again, we're going to be made to sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. There's a home awaiting us in heaven. But in the present, there's good works that God has ordained for us. He says we should walk in them. We see the same in Colossians. We see how our past, we walked after our flesh and that sinful flesh nature that we all have. But we see the future that one day Christ will return and we're going to be with Him in glory. And in our present, we're to be mindful of that and we're to put off the old man and put on the new man and walk as Christ wants us to walk. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4 and notice verse number 2. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 2. It says that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. Talking with us as believers. Talking to us and saying that we, or that he was speaking to him, that he no longer. Why? Because we're a new man. We're to be a new person. We're to walk differently in the present than we walked in the past. And he says that he no longer should live the rest. Think about it as going this way. Before you got saved, in your past, you walked a certain way. In your past, you walked after flesh and you did things that were sinful. And we just walked after our own nature. We fulfilled our own lusts and our own desires and we lived for ourselves. But here, after you got saved, now there's something. And he says, no longer live the rest of your time or the rest of your life in the way that you walked in the past before you got saved. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. Back here I live for me. Over here I'm supposed to live for God. A kids' song that our kids have had said, you got two choices in life, pleasing God or pleasing self. Pleasing God or pleasing self. Two choices on the shelf. Pleasing God or pleasing self. Back before we got saved, we just pleased self. We really didn't truly care about God and pleasing Him. But now we're no longer to walk in that way of the past. We're to walk wanting to please God, wanting to do the will of God in our life. We see in that verse, a believer's past, how we just lived after our flesh. And notice verse 3. 1 Peter 4, verse 3. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Again, we see how a person walked in their past. We see the difference there, how we're to be walking differently in the present, seeking to do the will of God. It says in verse 4, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. You know what? We will give account to God one day for how we've lived our life. We'll give an account to God one day for how we've lived and if we've done the will of God. That's why we're supposed to live in the present different than we did in the past before we got saved. Because we need to be mindful in all of this that in the future, we're going to face God. What did verse 5 say? Verse 5, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. And you think about it, in the future, there comes a day when all men must stand before God. Now, there's a different judgment for the unsaved than there is for the saved, but all of us still will stand before God at a judgment seat. And we will give account for how we've lived by life and either earn rewards or lose rewards based on how we live our life, 1 Corinthians 3 says. And that's why we need to be mindful of that in the future, we will give an account to God. One day, way down there, you're going to stand before God and give an account for how you've lived your life and how you lived since the time you got saved. Thank God if we're saved, There's a lot of things that are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. But for the believer, we'll still give an account for how we lived. How we lived our life and earn rewards or lose rewards based on that. Hey, the past is certainly not something we can be proud of. In the past, we live after our flesh. We live after our own lust. We live after our own desire. But now, here in the present, let's seek to do the will of God, being mindful of the fact that one day we'll stand before God and we'll give an account to Him. We see in these verses a believer's past, a believer's present, how we ought to be living, seeking to do the will of God, remembering because in the future, thinking of the future, how we will one day give account to God. We see a believer's past and a believer's present and a believer's future. Turn with me to one last passage of Scripture, Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 13. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 13. Let's actually go ahead and maybe read verse. We'll begin in verse 12. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 12. It says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." We see in these verses a believer's past and a believer's present. In verse 13, he talked about how there's some things that need to be put behind, some things that need to be left behind. He says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. You know, some things need to be left behind if I'm going to live for Christ. Even when we get saved, we still have our flesh nature, but then we also have a spiritual nature. The Spirit of God comes to live in your spirit. He dwells in your spirit. Our bodies become the temple of the Holy Ghost, the Bible says. And the Spirit of God lives in us, and as Paul described in the book of Romans chapter 8, there can be a struggle. There can be a struggle then between our flesh nature wanting to pull us back to the ways of the world and to fulfill our own lusts and to fulfill our own desires. But the Spirit of God is working in us, trying to perfect us, trying to mature us, trying to make us into the image of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, if I'm going to do the will of God and if I'm going to let Christ be formed in my life, if we're going to live the kind of life that God wants us to live, there are some things that we need to forget behind us back there. There are some things that need to be left behind us. A Christian's way is to be a new way, a different way. As we live for Christ, there are some things that, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth out of those things which are before. Again, as we've talked about another time, there are some things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. Places I used to go, I don't go there anymore. Some things I used to say, I shouldn't say them anymore. Some things I used to do, I shouldn't do them anymore. Why? Because now we're in Christ Jesus, and Christ Jesus is supposed to be formed in us, in our lives. And there's a different kind of life that we're to live. We see that in a believer's past, there are some things that just need to be left behind. A believer's present. Think about what it says there in verse 12. It can be a hard verse to kind of understand unless you just, you know, think about what the words say. He says, "Not as though I had already attained." Paul was being very honest about his own self. He said, I haven't attained. I mean, the great apostle Paul, a great missionary that people looked up to, and boy, what a great man now, great preacher and a great leader, and he's established and helped to start so many churches, and he's had such an influence for the gospel. But the apostle Paul, he said, I haven't already attained. I'm still striving to become what God wants me to become. I'm not perfect like Christ yet. I've not yet attained. He says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. But he says, but I follow after. I follow after. I want Christ to be formed in my life. I want to become all that God wants me to become. I want to be more like Him. He says, if that I may apprehend that, for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. The word apprehended may seem kind of strange to us, but what does Corinthians say? Ye are bond with a Christ. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I have been apprehended. I have been purchased. My life has been bought. My life belongs to Jesus Christ now. And He is to have His way in my life. I'm to do His will. I'm to do what God wants me to do. I've been apprehended of Him. And now I need to be seeking to apprehend. I need to be seeking. I need to be following after that which He wants for me to do. The will of God. Go on in verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Hey, in the present, that's how we ought to be living. I'm reaching forth unto those things which are before. I'm trying to become more and more like Jesus Christ. Verse 14. I press toward the mark. We ought to have that as our desire. We ought to have that as our goal. I want to become like Jesus Christ. I want to be so much less like the sinful man that I was. And I want to be so much more like Jesus Christ. And in this present life, yeah, we can struggle with our flesh nature and our spiritual nature and doing the will of God. But we ought to be following after and seeking, pressing toward that mark. As I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Notice verse 15. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. Perfect meaning mature. Be thus minded, and if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. He says, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so as ye have us for an ensample or an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Believer's past needs to be left behind, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forth and reaching forth unto those things which are before. What about a believer's present? How should we be living in the present? How should we be walking? Well, we ought to be walking towards that goal of being like Christ. I think honestly, for Paul in those verses, that's what he was talking about. I'm not perfect yet. I've not already attained. But I'm pressing towards that mark. I want to be like Christ. I want to be perfectly like Him. And we won't be perfect until we get to heaven. But listen, we ought to be walking towards that goal. We ought to be striving to each day and each year become more and more like our Savior, Jesus Christ. I notice also something else in those verses as he goes on. I think it's good for us to follow those whose faith walk is a good example. If we're going to be like the Apostle Paul in striving to become more and more like Christ, sometimes it's good even in this world when we have some other examples. We know Christ is our greatest example. He's perfect. And we ought to be striving to become like Him. But sometimes, isn't it also good when there's, you know, some flesh and blood around you that you can follow their example too? But if I can say to my boys, I sure want to be a godly example. See, I want to be a godly father. I hope you can look to me and follow my example. Because I want to be like Christ, and I want you to follow me. Paul said that actually. Be followers together of me, and then mark them that you can follow their example, considering the end, considering where they're going and how they're ending up in their life. I like to be able to say to my boys, listen, boys, I think there's a godly end that you can follow. I think you have a godly Sunday school teacher that you can look up to them. Oh, they're not perfect. They won't be perfect until they get to heaven. I think you can look up to them. I think you can follow their example. They're being faithful unto the Lord, and they've proven themselves faithful. I would hope that you can have a pastor or a pastor's wife that you could look up to. That you could follow our example and follow our faith. Hebrews 13 and verse 7 really, it tells us that. It tells us that we ought to do that. Hebrews 13 there in verse verse number 7. It says, whose faith follow, if I'm quoting it right, whose faith follow, sorry, before that, Hebrews 13 said, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. Again, talking about some preachers, obviously, that were preaching to them the word of God, and they were to be an example in their life. And it says, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. The word conversation, the King James had Old English, meaning their lifestyle, their way of living. You consider the end of how they're living, and heard an expression in English, the proof is in the pudding. What's the end of their conversation? And we're still young, but hey, when our kids are 20 and 25 years old, there ought to be some proof in the pudding then, for if we've tried to raise them to be godly and live for the Lord, and if they're at that age still living for the Lord, you say, boy, they've had some success. Or they, even now, hopefully you can look and say they're having some success. The way they're rearing their children maybe is a way that we should be rearing our children. The way that they're living their life is maybe there's some things about their faith and some things about their example that we could be following in our life. And that's what Paul said back there in Philippians. He said, we're all striving. I'm not perfect yet. He said, I'm not perfect. I'm still working on trying to become like Christ. And one day I hope to be like Him. But he says, as I'm following Christ, will you come follow Christ too? And will you come follow me as I follow Christ? And in Hebrews he says, maybe there's some others that have preached you the word of God that you could follow their faith as well, and they can be just some living examples to you. That as we try to put the things of the past behind us and we try to become like Christ, there are some examples we can follow. Listen, let's walk towards that goal of becoming like Christ together. And let's walk after those, or follow after those whose faith walk, whose life is a good example for us to follow. That's what Paul was teaching there in Philippians and in the book of Hebrews. In Philippians chapter 3, we see a believer's past, a believer's present, and a believer's future. It says in verse 20, for our conversation is in heaven. And our conversation, our life, our way of living, it's all about heaven. The way we're living is truly supposed to be because we're thinking of eternity and we're living for eternity and we're living for the things of heaven. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. Boy, that sure sounds good. I sure look forward to the day that He'll change this vile body and I'll be perfect like Him. In the flesh dwelleth no good thing, right? Oh, in my flesh I'm sinful. I'm so sinful. My sin nature is wicked. My sin nature is awful. But as a believer in Christ, and now as a follower of Christ and living for God, we're to put things behind us. We're to put the ways of the past behind us. We're not to walk in those ways anymore. We're not to walk after our flesh and walk after our own lust and walk after our own desires, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Pressing toward that mark, that goal, what? Of becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. And as the end says there, one day we will be changed. One day we will be made into the image of Christ. One day we will be made perfectly like Him. But until that day, we're supposed to be working on it. Now, will we be? No, we won't be perfect till we get to heaven. And we're made and perfectly sanctified. The perfection and completion of sanctification, truly. But we, as we're saved, are to be being sanctified and be being made more and more like Jesus Christ. Becoming like Him. We see a believer's past, walking after our flesh, walking after our own desires. We see a believer's present, how God has some good works ordained for us and we're supposed to walk in them. How we're supposed to be putting off the old man and putting on the new man. How we're supposed to be walking towards that goal of becoming like Christ, because we're to be following after Him. We're to be apprehending that for which we've been apprehended. And thank God one day in that future we will be perfectly like Him. But here and now, He's wanting to change us. The Spirit of God is wanting to change us and make us like Christ. And let's yield to Him. Let's follow Him. Let's walk in the Spirit. Let's not walk after the flesh. Let's walk after Him. Let's yield to Him. Let's let Him change us. Let's do those things that He wants us to do. Let's seek to do the will of God and not just seek our own will. Our present shouldn't be like our past. We should live like we do in the present because we're thinking again about that future. We will stand before God. He'll judge us. Let's live as we should, doing the will of God, walking after Christ, becoming more and more like Him. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father.